Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. As promised, we continue to deliver the biggest names in sports. Always look forward to our conversation with Basketball Hall of Famer, a two-time Olympian, and her latest title and endeavor will be as the head coach for the Dallas Mavericks affiliate, the Texas Legends, in their NBA Development League. It is always a pleasure to welcome in Nancy Lieberman. How are you, Nancy?
I'm great, E. How are you today?
I'm doing great. You know, the last time I was thinking back, when was the last time we had Nancy on our program? It was this past winter in February. You were gearing up for the 2010 NBA All-Star Weekend, and I understand you played in the celebrity game. I'm assuming that you posted probably another triple-double, right?
You know what? I had the greatest time because I had promised a young lady, Emily, she's 21, and she had cancer, has cancer, and she was in the Mayo Clinic watching the game, and I had promised her that I would make 4 points for her, and I was mic'd. So every time the ball was on the other side of the floor, I was like, you could see the video of me kind of holding my jersey and talking.
Yeah.
I'm not that crazy, although people think I am. But I was talking to Emily, going, Emily, they're going to reverse the ball to me. I'm going to knock the shot down for you. And they reversed the ball, and I hit the first shot of the game. And I said, Em, I owe you two more. And I had told Magic and Alonzo Mourning and my teammates, Dr. Oz, I had told all of them, look, I'm going to get these points early so I, you know, don't disrupt the flow of the game. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool for me to do that.
And I was going to say, I hear you just name dropped. You're talking about Magic Johnson, Alonzo Mourning. Who were some of the other celebrities that had the opportunity to participate in it?
Well, Mario Lopez was on the bench with us. He was one of our coaches. But Dr. Oz was my teammate, Common. Who else was with us? I'm thinking about the other team. Chris Tucker was on the other team. Angel McCautry, who plays in the WNBA.
Tell me about Dr. Oz. I'd love to hear any tip or two on health and fitness that he was able to provide for you, Nancy.
Well, you know, the funny part is I threw two passes to Oz, a couple of no-looks, one through my leg and one behind my back, and it hit his hands and went out of bounds. And I looked at Alonzo Mourning, I went, isn't he like a renowned surgeon? Isn't he known for his hands?
That's outstanding. Nancy Lieberman is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We're already having a great time. We want to pause and direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And you can email us at info@eradiosports.com. We also have to take time to recognize our premier corporate sponsor. That is our friends at Western Company of Texas. They too have a brand new website. It's wct.us.com. You can check out their information. Well, it certainly was the NBA All-Star Weekend. I know that's several months back, but it was a historic weekend. Over 100,000 fans taking in the game. Talk about what you've been doing even in the month of May. I understand you just got back from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., meeting and visiting with President Obama. Tell us about the festivities in this weekend.
It was pretty cool because about a month ago I got a letter, an email, and it says from the White House. So, you know, you skip all the other emails, you go right to it, and it says the President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama request the pleasure of your company at the White House. And it was last Thursday, was Jewish History Month, Jewish Heritage Month, I should say. And so they invited, you know, some prominent athletes, Sandy Koufax, myself, Derek Torres, a couple political leaders. It was really a pretty unbelievable time. So I took my son TJ with me. So we flew to Washington, and really by the time, you know, we got patted down and gone through security and, you know, handcuffed, shackled, and led into the White House. I'm only kidding about the shackles. But so we had an opportunity to, go, you know, kind of tour and go through the White House, and they had this beautiful, you know, buffet, and TJ thought that they had catered this affair for him. And the food and drinks were great. Diane Sawyer was there. She and I took some pictures. And so then we walk in and the president comes out and they talk about, you know, he talked about, you know, the effect that, you know, the Jewish heritage has had on our nation. And then when it was over, he was shaking hands with everybody and he turns around and goes, Nancy Lieberman, how are you? And I said, I'm doing great, Mr. President. He gave me a high five. And he looks at me, he goes, when are we going to play? I said, when do you want to play? He said, well, give me your cell number. I said, I'll give you my cell number if you give me the number to the red phone. And so he looks at me, and Michelle Obama turns around and goes, that was funny. I said, no, serious. I was serious about the red phone number. And he looks at me, he goes, give my guy Reggie, give me your card, give me your number. Reggie loves his right-hand guy. And so I said, you know, the kid over there taking our picture, Mr. President, that's my son. And he looks at him, he goes, he's big. I said, yeah, he's 15. He goes, can you beat your mother? And TJ goes, no. He goes, can I beat your mother? And TJ goes, no. And he just looks at me and he goes, pretty confident family. I said, I know you're not used to losing, Mr. President, but this time, I'm sorry.
I have to ask you, since you're sitting there, you're talking to President Obama, he always provides predictions as far as for the NCAA tournament for the men and for the women. What about the NBA Finals? Any predictions from President Obama on that?
You know what? I didn't ask him about that. I mean, obviously, it was a busy day for him. He had just come out of his press conference at 12:30 for the whole BP, the oil spill, and that tragedy. Then he was going to another function. I didn't have time to ask him, but he was pretty cool because, you know, they're walking away, and I'm standing there talking to Sandy Koufax, which is pretty amazing. And taking
absolutely.
Pictures. And somebody's like, Nancy, turn around. The president's calling you. And he's across the room, and he's like, Nancy, come here. And here I am in, like, stilettos, running over, jumping over cables, and I go back over there. And he goes, make sure you give Reggie your phone number.
That's outstanding. What was TJ's impression? Of course, you know, only 15 years old. Does he understand just how special of a mom that he has and all that you've accomplished? I mean, here he was at the White House shaking hands and rubbing shoulders with our president.
He thought it was pretty cool. I think really since I took him to the Hall of Fame inductions last September when Michael Jordan got inducted, and he just kind of looked at me as he was walking through the hall. He had not been to the Hall of Fame in Springfield since I was inducted in 96, so he was only 2 years old. And he comes out and he goes, Ma, this is amazing. I kind of, you know, take for granted sometimes, like, who you are. And I go, well, TJ, I'm just your mom, and that's the way it should be. But, you know, when John Stockton comes up and goes, Nancy, may I take a picture with you? And I'm thinking, huh, I was going to just say that to you.
Wow.
So how do you know, E? I mean, it's an amazing, amazing thing.
Do you take time to reflect back here? You grew up in New York, and you've had an amazing journey, an amazing experience. Do you ever take time just to step back? Even right now, I would probably say this is your off season, a little bit of a slow time perhaps for you, but just how blessed you are and just how far that you have come, Nancy. It has been an incredible ride.
It has been an incredible ride because I do look back on my career and I say, as a matter of fact, my mom and I were talking about this last night because in the last month, I have spent the weekend in Omaha with Warren Buffett and Bill Gates at the Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting and went to a private brunch with them, been with the president, been with Toby Keith, been with Eric Torres, been with Sandy Koufax, and all in all, I get up every morning at 7 o'clock and make breakfast and eggs and pancakes for TJ before he goes to school and, you know, get on the lake and pull the kids around the lake. So the good news is that there's a good balance, but I shake my head sometimes, and I can't believe this is my life. And I was talking to some people yesterday, and I was talking to Roger Staubach, and we were just laughing. He goes, remember when you came to Dallas? I said, yeah. That's 30 years ago. It's crazy.
We are talking with Nancy Lieberman this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And a new chapter in her life, of course, in the month of November, she was named the head coach for the Texas Legends, the Dallas Mavericks NBA Development League, continuing to break so many barriers. I'm just curious, Nancy, how did this opportunity come into fruition? Were you out soliciting, looking to be a head coach, perhaps in college or the NBA?
No, never have had a desire. It's never been a focus of mine to coach on an NBA or men's league, to be quite honest. It just happened that I was, you know, I mean, I've been with ESPN for 28 years, and I thought I'd be with them for another 20 years. And I saw Donnie Nelson one morning, and he said, hey, we need to talk. And we subsequently had 4 or 5 meetings, and he looked at me and he says, we'd like you to be the head coach of our basketball team. We've got, you know, great infrastructure, and with Dale Harris and Spud Webb himself and everybody else. And that was kind of the coolest thing, is that, you know, he knew what he wanted. He understood the significance of it, the history of it, and the change. And I'm so appreciative to Donnie's vision. And then, you know, when you talk to people like David Stern, and David, you know, says to me, he goes, Nance, you have to do this. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is bigger than me and you. You know, it took for Rosa Parks not to sit in that seat any longer for change to happen. It took for Donnie Nelson to say, I didn't just buy a basketball team. I'm going to put my thumbprint on what I want this team to be and the lineage of what this is going to be. And, you know, Elissa, this could be your kids being on an NBA bench one day. I mean, it could be my son's kids being on an, if it's a girl. It's about opportunity, and he very clearly saw that from the beginning.
You certainly are a trailblazer, Nancy, no doubt about it. You had just mentioned the names, longtime NBA coach Dale Harris and former slam dunk champion, you and I remember this, Spud Webb. What's it going to be like to have the opportunity to work alongside these very talented men?
Well, the most important thing that I can do right now is glean as much knowledge and information from them as I can. I would say conservatively, I'm on the phone 3-4 times a week with either, I'm always talking to Dale. We've been friends for 20 years. I've been down in Phoenix with Alvin Gentry, who actually made me one of the Suns coaches for a day. I went through all their coaches' meetings, filmed with the team, was on the court with the team, Steve Kerr. They opened up everything to me. Vinny Del Negro, I'm flying to Phoenix in a couple weeks to sit with him for 2 days in X and O. There's former D-League coaches, current D-League coaches. Yesterday, Chris Finch, whose team won the D-League championship with Rio Grande Valley. We were on the phone for 30 minutes. I'm going to go down to Houston in a few weeks and visit with him. Rick Carlisle and I were in the office last week, X-ing and O-ing. You can't believe how many people have been so kind to say, what do you need? How can we help you? The list is as long as the North Dallas Tollway, and I'm real appreciative of that.
And you sound like you're approaching it from a respect standpoint. Talk about your approach to this position. Will you be gender blind? Will you have that kind of perspective? I mean, we can't ignore that men and women are different, but how do you motivate men as opposed to motivating women? You did coach in the WNBA and the Detroit Shock.
Well, you know, I did the Today Show. I don't know if you saw that segment about 2-3 weeks ago. Maybe I'll send it to you, but I did a great show, and Amy, who was interviewing me from the Today Show on the feature, she goes, well, how do you know the guys will accept being taught by a woman or communication from a female? And I said, Amy, as far as I know, these young men have been told what to do by women their whole lives, their mothers, their girlfriends, their wives. We've been telling men what to do forever. So that's normal for them, and that's going to be normal communication. And she goes, I didn't even think about it like that. But the other thing, I mean, so get this. Yesterday, I'm talking to Spike Lee. He's down filming in Louisiana because he was doing something on the levees, and now he's adding this oil spill to this documentary. Spike Lee and I are from New York, so I talked to him all for a week, and I said, Spike, you know, I want to make sure that I understand what the needs of young African Americans or young men are. I want to make them better. I want to understand them. Now, have I been around all sorts of cultures my whole life? Grown up playing ball in Harlem? Absolutely. But I'm still a white woman in a man's world, and I have to do my homework to make sure that I'm making this experience good, you know, for all of my guys. So Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers,
yes, yes,
and I, we're talking either this week or next week. I'm coming out to Pittsburgh. We're going to sit and talk about the guys, what motivates men, what you know, I want to make sure that I'm communicating properly to my guys. My commitment is not just X's and O's, but I'm coaching these guys for life, E. I've got to make sure that I know what their needs are so I can help them be better men, whether they're white or black. It doesn't matter to me. I've got to do my homework. How about that? You know, Spike Lee and Mike Tomlin want to help me make my guys better.
And certainly tremendous resources they're going to be able to provide you with so much. But are you surprised, even when you came on board in November, that you always have folks that step back and they're like, what is a woman doing coaching men? I always find that just, you know, incredible hypocrisy. I mean, we see it so many times in women's basketball. We have men coaching women and being very successful, whether it's Gina Auriemma or Bill Finley at Iowa State.
You know what, if you look at it like that, is it an atrocity? Yes. But the other side of it is time. Time changes and makes change and creates change. So we're just living the evolution of, like I said, the Rosa Parks, of the women being able to vote, of Title IX, of these things are going to change in time, but it needs somebody to actually break through that glass ceiling to know that it is something that they can do. And so I understand the responsibility. I'm going to win, by the way. I'm going to win because we're going to make our players better. We're going to teach them about life. We're going to teach them about basketball. We're going to give them the ingredients that they need. So I can't lose because my guys are going to come back to our coaching staff in 10, 15 years and say, I want to introduce you to my wife and my kids. Coach, thank you for what you did. I didn't make it to the NBA, but I have a great job, and I'm a better man today because of the ingredients, the character that you helped instill in us. So I might be judged on W&L, and I'm okay with that because I'll take that responsibility, and I actually look forward to it. But we can't lose. We're gonna influence the lives of young people.
And I think, too, your prior experiences, you were the first woman to play professional basketball. That certainly has got to just weave its way into the fabric of what you're going to be doing now and certainly give you a better understanding, a better pulse of how to coach these young men.
Well, it will help me because I've been through the minor leagues. I've ridden buses. I know what it's like to want something so bad that you can taste it. If you really think that I wanted to play in the USBL for 2 years, people are crazy. I mean, I could never show my true talents. When people thought I was the best women's basketball player in the world in the early 80s, and I make a move past a dude and a 7-footer blocks my shot or pins it on the glass, that would have never happened had I done that against a female. I would have seen the end result, which would have been success instead of perceived failure. I didn't want to be in the USBL, but I had no place to play. These guys don't want to be in the D-League. They want to be in the show. They want to be in the NBA. I know what that's like, and I know that we will be there. Our team, our staff, our organization will be the gold standard for how people work, their mentality, their mindset of a champion, how they interact in the community with our kids. They're going to get all the different pieces of how to be successful.
What percentage of the guys in the D-League do get to go to that next level, to the big league level, if you will, and get to play in the NBA?
Last year, at the end of the NBA playoffs, 20% of the NBA were D-League players. I mean, that's a pretty high number. We had over 40 call-ups this year, and these guys came in and just were lights out. I mean, I can remember being in Phoenix during that little stint with the Suns, and I looked up at the scoreboard one day, and it said Golden State. It might have been the game that Don Nelson got his NBA record of the most wins. And I think it was Anthony Tolliver, who was playing in the D-League for most of the year. He was a call-up by Golden State. And I look up, and it said he had 34 points. And I'm thinking, unbelievable. Chris Anderson, a Birdman, he's a D-leaguer. I mean, they're all over the
yes.
NBA, guys who have been in the D-League and been successful and then go on to the next level.
We are talking with Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer. We know her well. She is now the head coach for the Texas Legends, the NBA D-League Frisco team. And, you know, we fast forward, we think ahead. What do you think that first game will be like? And who perhaps are going to be some of your special guests that you'll invite to be on hand?
It's going to be crazy because I know what happened when I played in the USBL back in 1986. And the first game was a media frenzy. And that's 86, just think of where we've gone with social media, networking. It's going to be a happening here. I don't know, you know, the exact date, but I know it'll be crazy with worldwide media because of all the requests we've already had. I know Muhammad and Lonnie Ali will be here. I know Toby Keith has told me he'll be here. Martina will be here. I mean, everybody, if he's not playing, Larry Fitzgerald, Deion Sanders, Terrell Owens. I mean, I could give you a list of just, you know, I'm throwing out famous people, but, you know, friends from college, from high school, there have been so many people who keep saying, when's opening? It'll be a sellout in our arena here, and I'm sure whatever arenas we play in, you know, those teams will have done some incredible marketing. You know, there'll be the curiosity factor, there'll be fans, there'll be people that love their team, there'll be women who want to support it, kids. It's really going to be a wonderful blend, and I'm very grateful to the D-League, you know, the NBA's D-League, for being so open-minded, and, you know, Dan Reed, our president, and of course, my man, David Stern, who, you know, he's been a friend for 30 years.
And I am so glad that you bring up the name Muhammad Ali. He has had a tremendous influence in your life, your career, personally, professionally. Nancy, we've talked about this in the past, but can you talk about your relationship with Muhammad Ali, the great one?
Well, I mean, I get chills when you even say his name because I am who I am because of Muhammad Ali. When I was 9 and there was nothing there for young girls, and I saw him on TV, and he was, I'm the greatest of all time. And I can remember running into the kitchen, and after my mother had said, you are not going to make anything of yourself, young lady, if you continue to play sports. What is wrong with you? Girls don't do this. And I'd be like, why, Ma? Because girls don't do this. I'm like, I'm going to be the greatest. I'm going to be the greatest of all times. And she's looking at me. This is the 60s. And she's like, what is wrong with you? And I said, you bought that black guy on TV. He said, I can be great. And she just looked at me like, you are sick. And then I got to meet him my senior year in college. We were both the headliner Olympic athletes in New York. And I couldn't even breathe being in the same room with him. And finally, we got introduced and we became friends. And, you know, during the 80s and 90s, we sort of lost a little track of each other. And we've rekindled our friendship and for the last 8 or 9 years. And his wife, Lonnie, knows I love this man. I love him. She always goes, you know what? He loves you too. He's in there. He's waiting on you. And I go to their house in Phoenix. Every time I'm in Phoenix, I go to the house. We watch the NCAA tournament, the Butler-Michigan State game together. We take pictures. We hug each other. Matter of fact, I was so excited. He just sent me a quote for my book. I mean, any time that they want me to be around them, I will drop anything to be around Muhammad Ali because he gave me my vision, my focus. He taught me to never be afraid of anything or any situation. He taught me how to try, to accept challenges, to not let people tell me what I can't be, to believe in myself for what I can be. And that's why, you know, he gave me my roadmap.
Nancy Lieberman has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And, of course, we're going to segue talking about your brand new book you were just alluding to. It is titled Playbook for Success. It's going to be released, what, this coming fall? Tell us more about it and kind of the inspiration behind the book, Nance.
Well, I don't really have a bucket list of things that I want to do in life. I just live my life. But the one thing that I do know that I wanted to do is I wanted to write a business book. Because sometimes in life, you know, you get kind of pigeonholed and stereotyped. Nancy's an athlete. Robin Williams, a comedic actor, he can't do method acting. And for me, I've had so many incredible experiences with the most amazing business leaders. I wanted to create a playbook for success because in men's sports, let's take football. You make the team or you're in training camp, they hand you a playbook. And the playbook tells you the rules, the philosophy, the expectation. It's your map to be successful with that organization. It has your offenses, your defenses, how you're going to get to certain places, your schedule. Well, women, for by and large, have never played with a playbook. They just do what they do, and a lot of women have never really thought about using sports as a tool for an equal playing field with men in business, how to use a ticket in the arena. The book is about leadership and strategic tactics, how to excel in business. And I use a lot of metaphors that we've learned through sports. How would Nancy know Warren Buffett? How would Nancy know Muhammad Ali? How would Nancy know Kevin Costner? How would Nancy know Donald Trump or Harvey McKay or, you know, some of the greatest business minds in history? But because there's that respect of sports, because I know how to interact and feel comfortable around men, and a lot of women in the workplace don't feel comfortable around men, and they don't know how to forge those friendships and relationships. Sports does that. You know, if I walk into a meeting, I don't plop my proposal down and go, okay, here it is. I'm going to be like, hey, can you believe A-Rod hit that walk-off home run at Grand Slam the other night? Oh, my gosh, yeah. What do you mean? Oh, you're a Boston fan? Hey, we're fighting. I'm a Yankee fan. You know, and all of a sudden you find a thread that kind of makes somebody likes you. And don't you want to do business with people that you like?
Absolutely.
I mean, life is tough enough than to do business with somebody you don't connect with. So I kind of, I teach women. I give them tactics, skills, strategies, tips, how to not only empower themselves, but empower people around them, how they can interact and integrate themselves, and to be, quite frankly, more successful in business.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to focus on teamwork, leadership, all these things, as you had just said, Nancy, empowering women. And I assume that our listeners can go to nancylieberman.com to find out more information. It is produced by Wiley Publishing, correct?
It is, and I think, you know, the thing that hit me most was dealing with people like Warren Buffett was going to write the foreword to my book, and Warren called me the other day and he said to me, look, you know I want to do this, but I just wrote a foreword for my sister Doris's book, so I just can't, you know, roll them out because I don't want to dilute what I do, but I really want this to be successful. Magic Johnson wrote the foreword. Everybody, David Stern, Jerry Colangelo, Sam Wiley, the billionaire, self-made billionaire that lives here in Dallas, T. Boone Pickens, Mark Cuban, Donald Trump, Martina, Billie Jean King, Donald Orender, David Stern, Harvey McKay, the bestseller. I mean, you know, when I look back and I think, oh my gosh, I mean, I cannot believe that these people cared enough about me to want to endorse something that means something to me. And so I'm very grateful for those people who, you know, Roger Staubach is one of those guys.
Wow, certainly a who's who, a headliner list. One of the names that pops into my mind that I've got to ask you about since you're having just this continued success, Pat Summitt. What are her thoughts and take on now that you're having the opportunity to coach in this development league with the Mavs?
Well, you know, the one thing about Pat, we've known each other since I was 14, 15 years old. She was my teammate on the 75 Pan Am, on the 76 Olympic. And I can remember Pat calling me in 1977 when she was given her first coaching stint for USA basketball with the junior national team. And I was at Old Dominion, and she called me, and she was like, I need you to play. This is my first. I need you. You're still young enough to be on the junior team. So people help each other, and people support each other. And, you know, our relationship has endured so many decades. And, you know, I mean, she's proud of me, and I'm proud of her. And we'll always be there for one another and supporting one another in everything that we do.
Outstanding. We're getting ready to wrap up our exclusive interview with Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer, head coach of the Texas Legends. We want to direct you to her website. That is nancylieberman.com. And of course, keep your eye out for the brand new book that's going to be coming out this fall, Playbook for Success. We have to wrap up our interview by talking about the Celtics, the Lakers, the rivalry through the years. Here they're going to face off in the NBA Finals for the second time in the last three seasons. And you know, Nancy, there's always something magical when these two teams hit it off.
Well, I mean, It's Boston, New York in baseball, but, you know, those two guys don't play in the World Series. So, I mean, has there been a grander stage for anybody with more titles? What is it, 17 to 15, I think, with Boston and L.A.?
Yeah.
It's as grand a stage and rivalry, and it's hated. That's the beauty of the rivalry. There's still, it's hated. And you get people at their best, and Kobe, you know, Kobe said his best, and I think the worst thing that ever happened to anybody during the playoffs was Charles Barkley getting on TNT a month ago saying that, you know, I knew when it was when my skills were slipping and I wasn't the best in the world anymore, and Kobe doesn't have it, and he can't take you off the dribble and beat you. He's pump faking too much. I think Kobe, knowing Kobe the way I do, I know that he watched that and went, I'm going to show everybody. I'm going to get healthy, and he's showing. LeBron might be the best physical specimen in the NBA. Kobe Bryant is still the best player because nobody has his lockdown mentality. It's like Michael Jordan. I think the Lakers are going
to
win.
Well, certainly revenge is a great motivator. But I have to say this. We've got to give some love out for the Celtics because so much has been talked about defensively. But point guard Rajon Rondo, he has certainly earned respect around the league and with his older teammates.
He's one of the most brilliant guys. I did some interviews, about four or five interviews with him last year. And I said, tell me, who's your hero? He says, my brother. I go, your brother? He goes, yeah, he's a math teacher. I said, seriously? He goes, Nancy, I would sit there as a kid, and he would throw math equations at me, and I'd have to, like, bam, 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 like, spit it out. He goes, he helped me kind of keep my mind sharp and thinking and who goes where and what goes where. He goes, and to this day, he's still my hero, and that's why I'm confident enough to tell Paul Pierce and Garnett and Ray Allen where to go and what to do because they're going to need me. I was like, wow, I love this guy.
Nancy, thank you so much. We were flat out of time. In fact, we're over our time, but we appreciate you stopping by. And just quickly, what's going to be up for you for the remainder of the summer? You got your team all put together?
We're waiting to get all the information from the league. I'll be at the Mavericks Summer League in Las Vegas with the team there. I'll just be doing a lot of scouting. I have my basketball camps. I got so much going on that I'm just trying to make sure I have enough time for me, my son, and, you know, just being mom.
Well, I'll certainly keep you in my prayers, okay, Nance?
Thank you.
Outstanding. We're going to step aside. We're going to be talking some TCU baseball here momentarily with their head coach, Jim Schlossnagel. Stay close.